church anniversary. It's our ninth in our series of 50 Baptists You Should Know. And this morning, we're going to take a look at the life of John Bunyan. John Bunyan was a unique man. He was uniquely qualified, I think, for what the Lord had for him in his lifetime. He was born in England in 1628, and he stands out in history as a man of deep biblical convictions who stood for freedom to worship God according to God's word. What's interesting is he didn't learn this from his father or his upbringing. His father was a decent man, but he was an atheist. And he stood at a time when it was very difficult to stand. Immense pressure was brought on him to compromise his biblical beliefs. But he decided that he would be faithful to his Lord and his word. And for that, he went to prison for 12 years. It also just so happens that he wrote the second most read book in world history, Pilgrim's Progress. This is what most of the world knows him for. But I believe that we would have studied his life even if he had never written Pilgrim's Progress. So who was this man? Bunyan grew up in a peasant home. His father, as I said, was an atheist. He was a tinker. A tinker is a someone who repairs pots and pans. He received a very meager education. He learned to read and write, but never much more than that as far as a formal education. He became also a tinker, followed his father into that trade. In 1647, he married a young lady who also came from a very poor background. Bunyan was a very wicked, I say he was unusual, and one of the things that's kind of unusual about him is he's a very wicked man as a young child and as a young adult. He says this about his life as a young, unsaved man. He said, "As for my own natural life, that I was without God in the world, both in my heart and life, and that from a child I had but few equals for cursing, swearing, lying, and blaspheming the holy name of God. I was rooted in these things, and I did so offend the Lord through my entire child and young adulthood." He was very aware of his sin, however. He said later that he loved his sin, but at the same time he was terrified of God and the punishment that was sure to be coming. He also felt, it's very interesting how he writes later about his thinking about his youth and his sin. He was fully convinced, fully persuaded, he said, that repentance was for him impossible. And because of that, he deliberately decided to have his fill of the pleasures of sin while his life should last and then suffer forever the eternal consequences. As terrible as this sounds, he decided that he has two priorities. He had two priorities in life: live as long as he could and enjoy as much sin as possible as he could while he lived. God, of course, was working in his life, and he used several interesting times. One we might not think of, but God would use the embarrassment of his sin. He many times throughout his late teens, early 20s, he talks about times he would walk up to people or pass people in the street who were discussing how terrible he was. It really bothered him. As much as he said he enjoyed his sin, these things really embarrassed him, and it bothered him. God would use that as conviction and conviction in his heart. God also led into his life people that would, it seemed, randomly approach him and quote him scripture. There's a time one elderly man he met. I think he grew to respect him, but the man would just read his Bible to him. And to me, that's a very interesting thought, that as Christians, these are the things, that it was the scripture that would convict his heart. As a Christian, as we witness to people, it's God's word that convicts hearts. It's not our unique way that we persuade people. It's God's word, and God used his word very definitely in Bunyan's life. Even under great conviction and eventually desire to be saved, he was tormented with the fear that he had committed the unpardonable sin over and over. He wondered if he could ever be saved. One day, he was walking in a field, and this elderly man that I mentioned had read to him the scripture, and the scripture came back to him, and the scripture was, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And this is Bunyan's words. He said, "I saw, moreover, that it was not my good frame of heart that made my righteousness better, nor yet my bad frame of heart that made my righteousness worse. For my righteousness was Jesus Christ himself, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He went on to say that at that moment when he was saved, his chains did fall off his legs indeed. He said, I was loosed from my affliction and irons. My temptations also fled away, so that from this time those dreadful scriptures of God left off troubling me. And now I went home rejoicing for the grace and love of God. So Bunyan was saved in 1655. He very quickly was baptized into the membership of the Bedford Baptist Church, where he learned the Bible under his pastor, John Gifford. Under this biblical teaching by this dear man of God, Bunyan became a nonconformist or a Baptist by conviction. He was still a layman, still working as a tinker, but when he was asked to fill the pulpit of this church and others, it was very clear the calling of God was on Bunyan. And it became evident as he began to preach and teach the Bible. His gifts as a preacher would draw the attentions of thousands of numbers who would come to hear him preach eventually. His reputation would also reach the ears of the King of England, Charles II. In 1658, 3 years after being saved, his wife of 10 years would die, leaving him 4 small children under the age of 10. He would marry again in a couple of years a godly woman named Elizabeth, who would bear him 3 children. One child would die in birth, and then children Sarah and Joseph. Bunyan was then arrested on November 12, 1660, for preaching without the approval of the Anglican Church. And this was the issue in that day. You were not allowed to preach unless you had a license from the Church of England, the Anglican Church, and they approved of you and gave you a license. He was really the first in his day to be arrested and persecuted for this nonconformity under the reign of Charles II. Later, he would not be alone. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of nonconformist pastors were jailed, but that would be later. Bunyan was the first. He was charged with teaching men to worship God contrary to the law, and he began what was supposed to be a 3-month sentence. This turned into 12 years. At home, Bunyan had 4 children. He had a wife who was ready to give birth to their first child. And the important thing to know is that he could have left the prison at any time if he would just promise to stop preaching Christ, but he refused. He was unwilling. Now consider what was happening next. Within days of being arrested, Elizabeth, his wife, under such duress, gives birth, but the baby dies. While the child lies in his casket, his wife is so distraught over his arrest and what that would mean to their family and the death of the child that she isn't able to move for weeks. So the care of his family was left to his eldest daughter, a daughter named Mary, who was just 11 or 12 years old, and she was also blind. Mary and one of her brothers scrambled to make shoestrings, to sell anything they could do to sell, to buy food, and to bring their father food in jail, because the jails at that time did not feed the prisoners. The family had to supply the food. His wife eventually would plead over and over for her husband's release, but to no avail. Hers is another story that will thrill your heart. We'll tell that someday. But the authorities would use Mary, his blind daughter, if you can imagine the pressure, Mary, his blind daughter, to beg him to come home. All he had to do was accept the license to preach. And Bunyan would refuse. He had 3 books in prison that he was able to take with him. He had a Bible, he had a concordance, and he had Fox's Book of Martyrs. While in prison, the Bedford Church called him to be their pastor, and he pastored the church from his jail cell. Only Bunyan could have accomplished this. And during this imprisonment, he would pen what most know him for, Pilgrim's Progress. This is one of 5 books and dozens of pamphlets and tracts that he wrote to feed his church members. That was the purpose of the book and the pamphlets. And of course, however, they were also read by thousands of people across England. The story is a long story, but the political winds would change and they would shift. And John Bunyan was released in January 1672 when Charles II issued what was called the Declaration of Religious Indulgence. But Bunyan's testimony had swept England, and he preached to thousands for several years. He was greatly pressured, but refused the overtures to leave Bedford and pastor a larger work or to go into evangelism. But God had called him to pastor those dear people who had stood by him in his great, great ordeal, and he would pastor them until his death. the political winds would shift again a few years later, and Charles II would withdraw the Declaration of Religious Indulgence, and Bunyan was again jailed, this time for about 6 months, but eventually released not to be bothered by the authorities again. In August of 1688, at the age of 60, he was traveling to London on horseback to preach and to reconcile a father and son. The son was a member of his church, and on the return trip, he traveled in the rain most of the way and fell sick of a violent fever. On August 31st, 1688, John Bunyan went to be with the Lord he had so faithfully served. Charles Spurgeon said, and a very, I guess, a big fan, a huge fan of John Bunyan, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "Read anything of his and you will see that it's almost like reading the Bible itself. He has read till his very soul was saturated with Scripture. This man is a living Bible. The very essence of the Bible flows from him. He cannot speak without quoting a text, for his very soul is full of the Word of God." And I say that Spurgeon loved Bunyan. He would read Pilgrim's Progress more than once a year. He read it over 100 times in his lifetime. And quite a testimony from Charles Spurgeon. But John Bunyan is among the great, our faith's greatest heroes. He represents a great host of Baptists who love liberty of conscience and were dedicated to the Lord and the principles of his word. And this morning I want to thank the Lord and thank the Lord for the testimony of this dear man, John Bunyan.